How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. His manna to the
below the happy mark for
me to part no more.
First hymn on page 140.
How did my heart rejoice to hear my friends devoutly say, and Zion let us all appear and give the Small the shop, it lasts. rest it well, for God the store maintained. It seemed as if from day to day they were to eat and die. But still, though in a secret way, he sent a fresh supply. Thus to his poor he still will give, just for the present hour. But for tomorrow they must live upon his word and power. No barn or storehouse they possess on which they can depend, yet have no cause to fear distress, for Jesus is their friend. Then let no doubt your mind assail, remember God has said, the bruise and barrel shall not fail, my people shall be fed. And thus, though faint it often seems, he keeps their grace alive, supplied by his refreshing streams, their dying hopes revive.
Certainly it's good to see each of you this morning. It's good to be here again at the church at Monticello. It's good to see all of you who come to be with us in worship service here. And we're certainly thankful for many things. Thankful for the privilege of having another day. And we're certainly thankful to see each of you. And God has spared your lives and blessed you to come this point in time in your life. And certainly, as we see 1996 fade into what is now history, I hope that you can say, as I can, that God has blessed us in another year. And certainly, we hope and trust that His blessings will be just as they have been in the past, especially for this upcoming year. It's good to see all our visitors, and we are thankful for your presence. And we want you to feel at home. We want to treat you in such a way that you may not understand everything that we do, may not understand everything that we believe, but one thing that you would know is that we were glad to see you. Want you to feel at home, want you to come back and serve. We're just glad to have you with us. I'm not aware of any announcements as far as appointments are concerned at this time. Brother Howard, are you aware of any? I'm not. However, I do, there are several people who are sick. Sister Elliot, I understand that she was in the hospital a couple of days and is now out, but she has had some problems regulating her heartbeat, and so she is now at home, but she's got a cold and is not able to be out of service today. Also, I know Sister Smith is still in the rest home. I plan on going by to see her after the service. Hopefully we'll find that she has had some progress in her rehabilitation. I talked with her about a week and a half ago. At that time she was doing pretty good. Certainly her strength is better than it was. And so we're trying to rehabilitate her to where she can go back and be able to place her living. I guess the tower is off of Church Street. So we want to remember her also. There's many others. I know my own family, we've all been sick with respiratory infections and colds and flus, and it just seems like everybody you talk to has been under that same ailment. And certainly I'm thankful for what degree of health we have today. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? I'm not aware of. If there are no announcements, then what we want to do is stand and sing an introductory hymn. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Hymn number 95. It's on hymn number 95. I think that's one that we Let's sing the first three and the last. You know that little key?
Page 4.
Yes, page 4.
For weak and worthless though I am, I have a rich almighty friend. Jesus the Savior is his name. He freely loves and without end. He ransomed me from hell with blood, and by his power my foes control. He found me wandering far from God and brought me to his chosen fold. He cheers my heart, my wants supply, and says that I shall shortly be enthroned with him above the skies. Oh, what a friend is Christ to me. Sure were not I most vile and base, I could not the and were not he the God of grace, he'd frown and spurn me from his side.
He will bow with us.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once again we have this privilege of bowing before Thee, falling under Thee, dear God, realizing that Thou hast all power. We call upon Thee this morning, Lord, with thanksgiving upon our hearts, and yet we confess that we must come before Thee again as beggars. Father, we bow confessing before Thee, first of all, that we have sinned and come short of Thy glory, that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before Thee. We understand and realize this. And Father, if there's any good thing that dwells within us this morning, it is because of Thy imputed righteousness unto us. Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of meeting together here this morning. We confess before Thee there have been many times that we have taken these opportunities for granted. It seems to be easy to do while we have the vigor of our youth. And while the things are going well with us, Father, it seems that we take these times for granted. But we realize from talking to Thy children, those who have been upon the earth longer, that the days will come when it shall be a chore, it shall be hard and burdensome sometimes to go to the meeting house due to the ailments of our bodies. Father, we pray, asking that Thou would help us to appreciate Thy blessings. We ask that Thou would give us the grace to thank Thee as we ought. For many times we've been like the 9 lepers who were healed and failed to turn to give Thee the thanks. Father, we thank Thee for Thy kingdom here, the places that Thou hast set aside where we're able to come out from the cares of life and to sit down under the sound of the gospel, to have our souls strengthened, and to have our hearts made to melt within us, longing for the day when Thou shalt come to take us home. Father, we ask Thee this morning that Thou would grant us the faith, that we might see Thee high and lifted up, that Thy name might be proclaimed above every name, that Thy goodness and mercy and truth would be praised and adored. We might praise the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all that He has done for us. Father, we ask that thou would strip us again of all vanity. I know we ask that every time we meet. But Father, that we might remove all flesh, and that we might see thee high and lifted up. Only by seeing ourselves as worthless, dear God, do we truly see thee high as thou should be. Even though we're sin defiled and sin tainted, we long for the day when that will not be the case. We long for the day when we shall see thee in all thy glory and beauty, and our sins shall be taken away from us and be remembered no more. Father, help us to love thee. Help us to love one another as thou hast commanded us to do. Not only help us to love one another, but help us to love our fellow man. For God, we realize that love is the greatest thing this world has ever known. It seems that from time to time we see the things go on around about us. The things that are brought into our homes by our televisions and the media. It seems that love seems to be so scarce. But Father, we ask that thou would renew in us a warm heart. Renew in us our need of a Savior. Renew in us our love and responsibility to our family and friends and our neighbors and our community. That we might let our light so shine in such a way that others might see our good works and not glorify us, but glorify thee. Father, we thank thee this morning for all the blessings of life in the year past. We ask that thou would continue to go with us and keep us for thy name's sake. For our prayer would be unto thee, that if thou go not with us, then take us not up with us. That is what Moses prayed unto thee, and Father, we feel that prayer to be just as fervent and potent and needful today. We need thy Spirit and thy presence with us. Father God, we ask thee this morning that thou bless us with thy Spirit. Bless us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Dear God, as we go to close this prayer, we would not close it without thanking thee most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for us. May all the praises of earth and heaven be to his great and matchless name forever. And amen.
As I'm before you this morning, I'm going to ask that you continue to pray for me. Pray for one another. God would be merciful unto us. I confess before you that I feel to be somewhat empty. This certainly is not the first time. And unless the Lord sees fit to bless, and our efforts here this morning will just be hopefully the songs that we sung would be to his name's honor and glory and work. Hopefully that our fellowship one with another would not be in vain. It would be that which would be edifying to us. A lot of times we think that I don't need to go to church. I can listen to the tape, or maybe I can get some preacher on TV. And don't get me wrong, I believe those things do generate spiritual thoughts in us. Some say, well, I could read my Bible at home. You can do that. And you should do that. We each of us should have time that we spend away, draw ourselves away, and get into our own little closet. It's not a literal closet, but it could be your own little place. I know some of you, I've heard some talking about how down to the barn was their place, or a particular place out in the woods by a creek was their place where they would go to pray. That's your own little closet. We each of us need that. And certainly, this morning, I think we ought to do those things and be fervent about them. I confess before you this morning that I feel to be, as I've said, empty. And I need your prayers. I want to speak to you, and the Lord being our helper, on a subject that comes to my mind from a song that we sang quite often. My son and I, we've done a lot of traveling together. One of the greatest blessings in my life, to have that privilege. And not only my son, but of course my wife and other son, they're at home. She's expecting our third child, and of course to travel now is quite uncomfortable. But we sing a song quite often. We sang it this morning called Just the Same Today. And every last one of you, now everybody here would probably know that song, but it starts out when Moses and the Israelites, when they fled Egypt. It was God that delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. And there's two or three verses of that song. David and Goliath met. How that God sent a stone from David's sling and it killed the giant Goliath. The point was, the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. And certainly, I want to speak to you about this God that is just the same today. I read in God's Word that the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this is the time of year when the world gets carried away, that the birth of the, well, I should say they get carried away in a lot of things. We all do. We all find ourselves in that. I just got through. I don't believe that December 25th was the Lord's birthday. I don't believe that it was meant for us to celebrate His birthday. That was something that's done by men. Don't get me wrong. I believe that it was probably the second most important time in history, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet God did not see fit in His Word to give us a date or a time in which that took place. You say, well, why don't you believe that it was the December 25th? Well, one reason, because at that time of the year in Israel, it wasn't the time that shepherds would be out in the fields with their flocks. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just like the angelic host that praise God. Glory to God in the highest. On earth peace and goodwill toward men. I believe it is glory to God in the highest. I believe God's children ought to celebrate every day. Thank God every day that the Lord Jesus Christ did take upon Himself a body of flesh, and that He did come into this world born of the Virgin Mary and took upon Himself our sins and died upon the cross and put our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. I am thankful for that. But there's also, my friends, we ought to be even more thankful. We ought to realize what it meant for God and Jesus. We sometimes I think get the idea that Jesus Christ's beginning started when He was born of the Virgin Mary. But my friends, Jesus Christ, the only thing that changed in Him was that He, before that time, He was eternal with the Father. Jesus Christ had no beginning of days, nor will He have any ending of days. He was eternal. Now, the only thing different about Him was that He did not have upon Himself, prior to the incarnation into this world, He did not have a body or a human nature. That is what started whenever He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was eternal. You want some Bible verses for that, I would imagine. We go to John, first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. We go over to the Proverbs. And you'll find there where the Solomon writes in the 8th chapter in the 27th verse. He says, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. Who was there? Jesus Christ was there. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Who is He talking about? He's talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You go over to the first, in the book of Genesis, And you'll find there when in the creation, it says, let us make man in our own image. If it was just God, and it is a singular God. Well, I should say it's a plural God. It's strange. I don't understand it. If anybody here can illustrate to me or explain to me the three-in-one Godhead, I've got time to sit down and listen. I don't understand all that there is. Me being a finite human being, me just having one body, it's hard for me to imagine three and yet one. But yet I find that God, it says, let us, which is a plural, let us make man in our own image. It uses in the Hebrew a plural, a pronoun, us. It uses a plural there and a singular verb. Let us make man in our own image. And so there you see it is a type of the three in one God. It was the Lord Jesus Christ with him in all eternity. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, Jesus Christ was there. Whenever we go to the Hebrews and we find in the Hebrew letter, the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul makes this statement. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now that doesn't mean, that means he is the same. The Jesus Christ that had power before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever built, or ever made, or ever created, that same Jesus Christ is the same Jesus Christ that was here that Paul was talking about in the New Testament, and he'll be the same Jesus Christ when he comes again. He'll be the same Christ forever. But sometimes there was some changes that took place with the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean that he's never changed at all. He has changed because until he was born of the Virgin Mary, prior to that point, he never had a human body. So we have to put this verse in context. What is he talking about? It's talking about his power. It's talking about himself as God. It's talking about him as being the eternal Son of the living God. That has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I want to notice something about this. And I don't know where I'll go with this. And he was exactly who he said he was. Whenever Jesus Christ, you remember when he talked in the 8th chapter of John, he's going to make a quotation there from an Old Testament verse. Remember when Moses went up into that mountain and he went to that burning bush and Moses said, whom shall I tell them hath sent me? And the God of heaven told him, says, you tell them that I am hath sent you. Who? What is that statement saying? I am. You realize that that statement was so sacred to the Jews that they did not dare take that statement and use it themselves. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told in the 8th chapter of John. There were some Pharisees that came to him and they were questioning him. And this is what he said. They were in the 58th chapter of the 58th verse of the 8th chapter. It said, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now notice what the Jews did. When he made that statement, they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why would they take up stones and cast at him? Because he had referred to himself as the I am. That statement was so sacred to the Jews. Whenever Moses went up into that mountain, and there at the burning bush, and asked, says, whom shall I tell him that sent me? He says, you tell him that I am. Have sent you. And that I am means that I was, I am today, and I will be forever. That is the sense of that word, those two words, I am. And Jesus Christ used that there, and whenever they questioned him, said, before Abraham was, I am. And that's when they took up the stones to kill him. Jesus Christ was exactly who he said he was. And if I've got any message today, that's the one I want to speak on, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The I am. The one who was from everlasting, who is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same tomorrow and forever. That's the only good news I have this morning. And I think that that's the central theme of God's Word, is that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. I wished I had maybe some text that I could take. But you know, really, all text ought to run back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, for I am determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only message I have. I told you there's two important times in history. One being the day when the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself a robe of flesh and came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary. That was certainly the first one of the two. But the most important time of human history, do you realize it was not the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ? The most important time in history was the time that Jesus Christ hung upon the cross. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. From that time, my friends, you go read the Gospel of John, and you'll find that seven different times he says, "Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come." What hour was he talking about? He was talking about the central point of history, the focal point of all of the mankind and every one of his children was the time that he hung upon the tree and paid our price, the price for our sins with his own precious blood. That's what he was talking about. "Mine hour is not yet come." But you go to the 17th chapter of John, and you'll find him praying this prayer. "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. For thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." There is the hour that he's talking about. When he's getting ready to pay the price for the redeemed. He's getting ready to pay the price with his own precious blood. He knew no sin, who did no sin. And yet they yelled out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And now that's the one I want to talk to you about. The one who's called the friend of sinners and publicans. The one that's spurned by this world. The one that whenever he came into this world and born of the Virgin Mary, there was no room for him in the end. And I've got news for this world out here that I'm a member of and that I have to go in and out of daily. They have no room for him still today. I went over there to the malls. They talk about this being a big religious holiday. Well, I'll tell you, if it's such a big religious holiday, tell me this. I was over there on Saturday at the mall, and I almost got trampled out there in the crowd. They were out there as thick as fleas on dogs. But guess what? On Sunday, I got up to go to church, and I bet I didn't pass five cars on the way. Now, if it's a religious holiday, you tell me why I'm getting stomped at the mall, and I've got a clear shot to church on Sunday. It's not a religious holiday. It's a pagan day, or just a day to have fun or to have family and friends over. I love that. I'm involved in it. Believe me, I went up there, and you thought I would have been the man. I had it all on my back when I left that mall. I'm a part of that, and I love it. I enjoy the family and friends. But my friends, let's don't kid ourselves. Let's don't kid ourselves. Every day ought to be a religious holiday for God's children. Every day. It ain't December 25th, not the Lord's birthday. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He is I Am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one that John saw on the Isle of Patmos and says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." Amen. That's what he says there. That's the one I want to talk to you about this morning. He's the one. I want to and point out some things to you. If he's not who he said he was, then you know what we might as well do is pack it up and go home. Because if he's not raised from the dead, if he's not come out of that tomb, if he's not the eternal Son of God, if he's not the I Am, then our faith is vain. And you are yet in your sins. We're still in our sins. I want to point out some things to you. My dad sent me a little thing in the mail. And I don't mind sharing this with you because it does my heart good. You know, a lot of times we want to put our faith in numbers and things and facts. Well, I'm going to share this with you. Jesus Christ, whenever we see the New Testament and look at the Old Testament, there was over 300 prophecies fulfilled in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were 300 things written. As you go find in the New Testament, you'll find it fulfilled because they'll say, "As it is written." As it is written. That means that it's been fulfilled. Over 300 prophecies. Over 100 of those deal directly with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you take out those that might have been prophesying of the same thing, when you got through with it, there's probably about 35 prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this here is so astronomical. On the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of his crucifixion, he fulfilled 35 prophecies in one day. Now, you may say, "Well, that sounds wonderful." But let me tell you what this mathematician did. I had his name and it's gone, but that's all right. I can produce the article. This mathematician figured out that for 20 prophecies, just 20, and see, these prophecies were written hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ ever came into the world. If a man could just take 20 of those prophecies about him and fulfill 8 out of 20 in his lifetime. 8 out of 20 prophecies in his lifetime, if he could fulfill those. You say, well, what were some of the prophecies? Well, how about this one? They gave me vinegar and gall to drink. They cast lots for my garments. They pierced my hands and my feet. All of these prophecies were fulfilled. He was numbered with the transgressors. He made his tomb with the rich. You just go right off and name these prophecies. These things that were prophesied of him hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ ever came into the world. If the person could have 8 of those 20, just 8 of 20 prophecies fulfilled, you know what the chances of that being in their lifetime would be? Now get ready for this number. It would be 150 followed by 15 zeros. 1 in 150 and 15 zeros. I don't know what that number is. It exceeds the trillion mark. It far exceeds our national debt. It's greater than 150 trillion, I know that much. 150,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, for a person to fulfill 8 out of 20 prophecies in their lifetime. Now, to give you some idea of what that'd be like, this gets good. I love this. It'd be like taking the state of Texas, the largest state of the 48 states. Now, Alaska may be larger than landmass, I'm not sure. But take Texas. We all know how big Texas is. And everybody in Texas lets you know how big Texas is. They're proud of their size of Texas. Everything's big in Texas. You take Texas, and if you were to fill it with silver dollars, cover it in silver dollars 2 feet deep, that'd be that 150, 15 zeros. State of Texas, 2 feet deep. You got silver dollars that deep all over the entire state. And then you tell a person, you take one of those silver dollars and mark it with a red dot. And you just throw it out there somewhere in that state. And you don't tell the person where it is. You tell them to get in a plane and jump off out of a parachute. And then where they fall, to reach down and pick up one of those, and the chances of them picking up that one with that red dot on it would be the same as 1 and 150 with 15 zeros. That's to get 8 out of 20 prophecies in your lifetime. The Lord Jesus Christ had over 35, had 35 in one day. Was he who he said he was? I'd be willing to bet on it, wouldn't you? But the point is, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was exactly who he said he was. That ought to, I tell you, if there's nothing else, any better news that I've got, the friend of sinners. You say, well, he can't relate to me. Sometimes I get in a way, you know, you get bent out of shape. I love that song, I Am a Stranger Here Below, and what I am, 'tis hard to know. So full of, the verse just left my mind. I'm full of sin. I am so vile and full of sin, I fear that I'm not born again. I don't know if you can relate to that or not, but I can relate to it.